Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? It's your girl, Monique Leray. I'm in Miami. I'm cheating on LA a little bit, but for very good reasons. Right now, it's my one-year anniversary, and I have amazingly beautiful, special, lovely Dan Renzi from MTV's The Real World.
And not only I'm amazing and beautiful. She's like, the amazing, beautiful Dan. What about sitting here?
And Dr. No. And he's fucking awesome, too. Thank you for tuning in on a very special time and date for my show. My birthday, my anniversary of this show was yesterday, 1 year ago. And going in line with that theme of just following your dreams and starting up, I want to speak to these gentlemen here who know starting up very well.
I want to point out one thing, because right here in honor, since you're in LA, I'm wearing my favorite LA shirt. This is Black Cat. This is the
OG spot.
Yeah, the spot. This is that restaurant in LA.
You did it on purpose, right?
Yeah, I did. I wore this because I know this is LA Talk Radio. So
I love that.
Props to LA. It's my favorite shirt. It's so soft. Go to Black Cat in LA and buy one of their t-shirts. It's my favorite shirt.
It's so, we need to smile more these days. And we've got Dr. No, South Beach's own.
That's right.
How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
You just got off a plane, by the way.
I did.
Thank you so much.
I flew in for you.
I love you so much.
Oh, my God.
I feel like our love affair started here.
I know.
Remember when we turned, Patrick was with us, and we turned a restaurant into Halloween in the middle of the springtime?
Yes. And I was wearing, it was the middle of the spring, for those of you out there who aren't aware that Miami has one day a year when it's below 1,000 degrees, and then the rest of the year it's over 1,000 degrees and it's like 100% humidity.
Yes.
And we're pretending it's Halloween, and I showed up.
What did you have on, by the way?
And like I was wearing a black velvet suit jacket, like a tuxedo jacket.
That's right. It was black. Yeah.
And I remember sitting there, and I was just like trying to think, like, just don't sweat. Stop sweating.
Tell your pores to calm
and like, you know, I was just like, just stop sweating. And I was trying to, and we're like, it's Halloween, just stop sweating. It's supposed to be cold. And I was just like, could feel the heat, like just creeping out of the neck of this. And I was trying to be cool.
It was like April. Dr. No, you know about hot temperatures. You wear suits for business. Tell everybody about your brand. What do you do?
So I have my own consulting practice, but I will say, give shout out to LA. I used to live and love living in LA. I live here on the East Coast now, but I still get back out to California. And so I work with a lot of nonprofit organizations, a lot of entrepreneurs, and a lot of businesses who want to help change the world and do social good.
We're going to call you the South Beach Tony Robbins, but Dr. No Limits.
That's right.
NOE.
That's right.
NOE. Okay, so Dan, let's just jump right in it.
Let's
jump. So you guys, it's kind of interesting that Dan and I see each other in Miami again, because it kind of, our love affair started, as you just shared, in Miami on another show. And I worked at MTV.
Oh.
Look at this 80s fucking garb right
this.
Now.
Santa Monica is in the real world. Look at this shirt.
Woo-hoo! I'm throwing things.
This is amazing. Like, this is back when MTV was cool.
Right.
When they played music videos.
When everybody had music.
And you can't see, it's like acid wash.
It's so 80s.
If you can see it, it's acid wash. There's people who are like under the age of 35 who are like, what is that?
What is acid wash? What is acid?
People over 35 are like, oh, look at that.
Where's my Atari at? Where's my Apple down now? Where's Nintendo?
Oh, my God. I'm going to peg my jeans right now. I'm so excited.
And so, you know, I did that whole thing. He was on MTV's Real World Miami season number
5. It was a million years ago.
Yes.
But you know what? Awesome. You're part of the culture. Talk to us about your life then. What were you thinking? What were you going through when you got cast on that show?
You know, I just wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I'm going to go on reality TV and my life is going to change. And it did not.
It changed, but just different.
No, and I did, you know, and I was living in Kansas, and I thought, well, I'm a gay kid in Kansas, because I remember watching The Real World in seasons before. And I was like, I could be on this show.
Yeah.
Like, I could be on a reality show. They would want to have someone like me on. And so Phil wanted to be on the show. I'm like, Because I'm perfect. Like, I'm a gay guy from Kansas, and, you know, like, you know, it's just not something that is really that common in Kansas, I guess.
Yeah.
And this was also back, you know, before Ellen. This was back before Will and Grace.
Like 25 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time. The world was a much different place then.
You helped change it, though.
And, well, I don't know. But, I mean, it's I think that I was part of something. It wasn't me that changed it. It was the machinery of reality TV back in the 90s.
Sure.
That reality TV really opened up people's eyes to a lot of issues. You know, just, you know, social justice and AIDS and HIV and gay culture and, you know, transgender people. Someone got an abortion on a
That's right. Was it Tammy?
Yeah, it was Tammy. Yeah. And like, it just opened up all these conversations that hadn't been discussed on TV before. And it wasn't like, oh, Dan from the Real World did it. It was just that I was part of this machinery. And we're all very respectful of having been part of that.
Well, and, you know,
and now reality TV is much different. And it's just ridiculous. And it's fun.
It is ridiculous. I'm part of that machine starting in 2000. And I helped make it as ridiculous as it is today.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and we certainly had a ridiculous moment. You know, like, we, you know, we had, there were people were having sex on the house and people were acting crazy. And, you know, so we were part of that shift to sort of sensationalism. But we still had something to say. And with no, you know, no, you know, I'm not criticizing anyone who does it now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's even talk about bringing some of the old school Real World people back.
That'd be dope.
They've contacted us.
What?
And they did.
They put their feelers out.
Exactly. They're putting out feelers. And there's what's called the OG movement.
Oh, I love it.
And which, you know, which, you know, when I hear the word movement, I think of something else.
Right.
But
two other things.
Yeah, but it's like you're having an, it's the OG movement and they're talking about sort of rounding everybody up. And I'm like, well, you know, we're all in our 40s now and we've got jobs and kids. And so like, how are we going to take a couple weeks off to go film a show?
You know we can do that for you.
And so, I mean, I don't know, but they're like, well, what have you been up to? And I'm like, it's been 20 years. You know, I mean, like, I've been a little busy, you know. I mean, it's been 20 years. What do you want? Like, what would I pick out in the past 20 years that I should focus on?
Well, speaking of that, it's a great segue that you say that, because Dan has actually been up to some amazing things. And what's interesting is the world has changed.
Yeah.
As we have tampons and maxi pads on our face.
That must be awfully uncomfortable.
I mean, I'm exhausted, but they are like a pad, and we are being socially responsible. But
I have boxes and boxes of surgical masks. I mean, all over the place.
How high is it stacked?
I do. I have them all over the place, and it's like I have them in every room. I have them in my glove compartment, in the console. I mean, I have masks everywhere because I work as an RN now.
Yes.
And so,
let's give them a clap, you guys.
RNs are awesome. I'm going to clap for myself. That's if you in California or whoever, wherever you are that you're watching this podcast or listening to the podcast, please go hug a nurse. Seriously. Hold your breath while you do it. Yes. You know, because we don't want to spread COVID, but please, it's a hard time for anyone who works in healthcare, as well as nursing assistants, as well as the people who clean the hospital rooms, as well as the people who work in the registration desks. It's incredibly, incredibly minute by minute stressful. And it's not just dealing with COVID patients. Dealing with COVID patients is extremely, extremely complicated. Mm-hmm. The medicine that is involved in caring for someone who's COVID positive is far beyond pretty most other ailments that are in the hospital. But minute by minute, just the paranoia and the stress and the anger and the frustration, it really weighs on everybody who works in the healthcare field, as it does with everyone who is in the public. So I would just, you know, please just, you know, for a while we were America's heroes and people are kind of forgetting about frontline workers because the conversation has moved on to other things, but we're still dealing with it and we're still in a pandemic and it's not easy.
You raised really good awareness, really good points. And I think you guys can take it from him. He was a reality star, and now he's an actual human
An actual
star.
Human.
An actual human star. I mean, he wasn't a human before. But you are. You are someone out there on the front lines essentially working. Yeah. And, you know, he's come from your screen, and you're actually – do people recognize you sometimes when you save them in the hospital?
Usually when I would work with COVID positive patients, they were generally delirious. Sure. So they were
before COVID.
Yeah. Before COVID. And actually it was funny. There was a woman that came up to me at a restaurant somewhere. She saw me and she said, "I have to ask you a question. Are you Dan?" And I said, "Well, yes, I am, Mr. Dan." And she said, "You work as a nurse, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I thought it was you. I gave birth at whatever hospital and you helped me get off the toilet."
What?
And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah, I was like still like, you know, coming out of anesthesia because I had a C-section and I couldn't get off the toilet and I rang the call light and you came in and I remember looking up and I thought, this is Dan from the Real World Miami helping me get off the toilet."
She's hallucinating with you.
And I was like, "Come on, girl, get up. You can do it, you know." And like, you know, got her plopped her back in bed. And I was like, "Well, I'm glad I made an impression." Wow. You know, and so she's like, "Well, thanks for that. Everything's working fine now."
Well, now her baby's like watching the Real World on screen.
So it's, you know, it happens once in a while, but generally in the hospital, they're more like, because it's such a stressful situation, people, they're just happy to see your friendly face, you know.
And that's really cool. What a great story and a memory forever. They're going to like love you forever. And right before COVID started here in the U.S., what was your life like as a nurse before?
It was a little bit easier, I guess.
Right. I would guess so.
Well, because the thing is I got my start when I never worked with critically ill patients. I worked a lot with geriatrics. I love old people.
You're good like that.
The wacky old people who have funny stories to tell. You know, we would sing songs, we'd go in, and I'm like a fluff your pillow nurse, you know, like, "Come here, let's fluff your pillows." Like, I didn't really get into the intensive care. It's so technical, and so you have to be so minute by minute, you know, just focused on these minute details. And that's just not how I operate. Like, I kind of bounce from room to room and I'm telling jokes. And then Sally, the 85-year-old lady, she comes walking out without any pants on, and I go, go chase her down.
Sally.
You know, you know, we're all going to be Sally someday.
We're almost there.
If I had a dollar for every time I walked outside with that pants on. And And so it just, and then when this call came out for nurses to go to New York, I didn't have the skill set as a lot of us didn't, but they were just desperate.
Right.
And, you know, Mayor Cuomo came on. Governor Cuomo.
There's so many names.
Governor Cuomo went on the news and was like, "Please come to New York and help us." And I was like, "What is this?" And it's all of a sudden, all these email blasts and web pages came up.
What
and they're
day
like,
was that? Do you remember? It's like March 15th.
I don't know. Yeah, it was like sometime in March.
Yeah, it changed. Yes.
And
was it
these,
the peak?
Yeah,
and they just they were desperate. And a bunch of us showed up, and it was like, amazing. And they, you know, and I walked into this intensive care unit, and they're like, "Well, you know, what kind of nurse are you?" And I'm like, "Well, I work with geriatrics, like, I have some experience in like hospice, you know, like end of life, and you know, like, so when people are, you know, at the end of their lives, like I can handle that or whatever." And they're like, "Well, do you know how to use, you know, whatever machine? Do you know how to use a ventilator?" And I was like, "No,
oh boy,
you know, but I can learn because I believe in myself."
Right,
and they just plopped me in front of this patient, and the doctor was like, "Okay, watch this nurse. Watch this number. If this number goes up, press this button. If this number goes down, press that button. If you don't press these buttons, this person will die."
What?
And I just sat there, and I remember, like, you know, I had all these face masks and face shields, and I was so scared watching this guy in this bed. And I was like, "What did I get myself into?" And tears. And it wasn't that I was crying. It was just the pressure of the terror.
Sure.
The terror of staring at this guy as this machine is breathing for him. And I couldn't wipe my eyes because I couldn't get my fingers back behind my neck.
I gotta disinfect.
And I was like, "Guys," this was also back when there wasn't any hand sanitizer.
Exactly. Of course not, because everybody's buying the toilet paper, which makes sense.
Everyone was hoarding hand sanitizer. So there's no hand sanitizer in the building. And I was just standing there and I couldn't wipe the tears out of my eyes. And I'm trying to blink because I'm like, if I can't see the numbers on this machine, this guy's gonna die. And like just sitting there. For, you know, I worked night shift and just all the way through the night and trying whatever we could to keep these people alive. And with COVID, one of the things you have to do is you have, when people are on vents, they're not using, this is a little, we're going to get a little science-y for you.
Let's get science-y.
And I'm going to keep it short.
Cheers to my 1 year, by the way.
And cheers. And cheers. So,
cheers to staying alive for another year.
So cheers while we're talking about people dying.
We're going to stay alive.
So when you're not using your diaphragm muscles, your that the diaphragm is a huge muscle.
Okay.
And when a vent is breathing for you,
push it down.
That huge muscle relaxes, okay. And it squishes your lungs. It just, you know, it's just like it's a big wet towel. Like,
yeah. Mm.
So you have to flip everybody over onto their chests. And because then the diaphragm falls forward and the lungs can open up again.
Ah.
And so now trying to flip someone over when they've got four IVs, yes. We would put IVs in people's ankles if we could find veins, you know, wherever, keeping all these drugs in their bodies and a tube coming out of their mouth. So we're trying to flip them over without breaking any teeth. And, you know, and they would have me do it because I'm the biggest one. I'm like, yeah, but I'm kind of a sissy. I can't really, you know, like, I don't know.
But you're a strong sissy.
You know, and they're like, well, you don't know what you're doing anyway. Just help flip people over, you know. And so I was like, all right. And so we would just flip, 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 flip. And it was like painting the Golden Gate Bridge.
How many flips did you do a day?
Oh, I don't know.
Not the deep.
I mean, we had 14, in this room, we had 14 people. And we never left. You know, we would just move from bed to bed.
Wow.
And the alarms would go off and we'd go running to them and we'd, you know, pumping drugs into them. Because you can't do CPR on people if they have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a heart attack, which is very common because they can't breathe and their heart is pumping so fast because they're not getting enough oxygen.
Right.
And they'll have heart attacks. And right. So, but when they have a heart attack, you can't do CPR because the chest compression blows COVID into the air.
Oh my God, it's like everyone. It's a hot mess.
Yeah, and so we're just like, don't let them code. You know, we have to keep them from coding because we cannot do CPR. And we would just run from person to person. And finally, I ended up, like, I just, like, from lifting and flipping someone over, ended up just messing up my back. And I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Wow. So now you have to have a chiropractor. You've got social distance.
And I was like, and I just remember sitting in front of the manager, and I was like, I don't know how people do this, you know? And like, I think my body has just been like, bitch, you are 46, you know? Like,
the real world was 96, okay?
Like, I've got gray hair. And I was just like, I can't do this. And so I went home and rested, but then I just like, you know, I quarantined for 2 weeks and then like, and that's when the Navajo Nation, the Navajos started getting infected. And so I emailed the Navajo Nation. I was like, NavajoNation.com. Right. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm ready for more. Do you need help?
Wow.
And the president of the Navajo Nation was like, yeah, we'll send you a plane ticket. And so I showed up in New Mexico and was like, hello. And like, where are the sick people? And like started marching around the Navajo, you know, the Navajo Nation.
Yeah.
And I just started bouncing from place to place because like, you know, I wasn't scared of it, and I'm absolutely not scared of COVID in the slightest. And, you know, and now it's, what month is it now? September?
Well, it's almost going to be October soon.
And there's no end in sight. And it's like,
It's still out there.
And it's still, you know, it's people, I think, are becoming complacent.
Yeah.
And that's, and people, it's people.
They're tired. They want their life back.
They want their life back.
And we're selfish. We're selfish by nature.
Yeah.
You know, and we got to step up and scoot on over here a little bit so we see your beautiful masked face. On that note, we're going to take a quick breather and they're going to have a toast. And while they're doing that,
we get to drink more champagne under our masks.
While they're doing that, I want to give a shout out to my sponsors, Michael Silver Family Wines, Archery Jewelry. I'm wearing her beautiful bracelet today. You can go to Archie with two L's.
Are we drinking their wine right now?
No, but this is just Michael Silver's Family
Wines. This is delicious.
This
is good.
From Sonoma. And, yes, Archie Jewelry, and we have Michael Silver. Who else do we got? We've got BB's.
I need to.
Kevin and
Henry. This isn't my first glass.
He will be getting more. He will be getting more. And we want to give a shout out. Did we unplug? Did we unplug? Are we okay, Gentry? Okay. It looks unplugged, but we are still live. We have a little cord down. But I want to say thank you to BB's, Heaven and Hell, Seasoning, Elevating Urban Environments. Okay, perfect. Chef Corey's going to be on very soon. And Dr. Nell, let's start to you for a moment and just break things up for a moment because we're going to come back to you. I know you have more tea to spill.
I have so much tea.
More tea.
Grab your tea mugs. Teacups. Dr. No, tell us what you envision for your clients, what you're looking for to help them shift during this COVID moment in time.
COVID moment.
Yeah, and how do they navigate this new world, this virtual new world?
You know, Monique, you use the right word. It is a moment that we're in. We're at this inflection point, kind of at this intersection. And I want to continue on this thread of humanity. And I think, you know, whether you're in a...
Scoot on over here.
In a COVID unit, helping people in some very vulnerable states. I do, my work is obviously removed from the clients that I have happen to work with a lot of vulnerable populations.
Yeah.
Whether I work with for-profits who are doing coaching and mentoring for people that are in at-risk situations and young people.
Great.
I have a lot of nonprofits that are in the health and humanities space. And so they do a lot of work with a lot of vulnerable populations, from veterans, elderly, seniors, you name it. And so it's a joy every day to kind of get up and help advise them on how to create a better world and map to a better world.
That's great.
And so essentially that's what I do. My background is in business, philanthropy, I have a PhD in organizational leadership. And it really starts with the leadership component. And I'll go in and try to assess organizational health, figure out what systems are working, what systems are not, and what are the roadblocks, and then how to overcome that. And then really I ask them at the beginning, talk to me a little bit about your aspirational goals. Where do you see the organization going in the next 5 years, 10 years?
Right.
And we kind of work backwards from there. So that's a quick overview.
This is amazing. So if you're in the South Beach area, if you're in LA, if you're nationwide, Dr. No's available to you.
Totally.
Why don't you give everybody your handles?
He's totally available. How available are you, Dr.
Like, no? Give them your number now.
Yeah, let's talk about how available Dr. No really is. I would like to know how available you are.
Yes, darling.
That may be the champagne talk.
More champagne.
There's more
that
can jump in. Dr. No, if someone is needing those services, though, right? And how do they reach you? What are your handles?
I would love to know how to reach you, Dr. No.
Yes.
How do we know?
So it's a play on my name. C is for my first initial, Christopher. And no, N-O-E, and limits. And that's the name of my firm.
See no limits.
I want my clients to see no limits to what's possible before them.
Love
so
it.
It's see no limits at Gmail or see no limits on Twitter as well.
Come this way, boys. Okay. Look how beautiful you look when you get on
now
screen.
We're on
okay, that's really great.
Black Cat approves. He thinks it's great.
I mean, the Black Cat, I love that you got in alignment with that. And I got the MTD on if you put this on for after. We'll have some after party pictures.
Okay.
Isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys see collectively for 2021 for this world and COVID? What do you think we're going to be? Where do you think we're going to be? Business and health.
We will have a vaccine by then.
Okay.
The clinical trial, I'm happy to let you know. I am poor myself.
Well, we've got to fix that.
But I have various 1%er friends.
Right.
And I can tell you off the record that the vaccines are showing very good promise.
That's encouraging, Dan Renzi.
And so the vaccines are going to be available sooner rather than later.
Wow.
I know that AstraZeneca, their vaccine, it was reported that they've got some side effects issues, so maybe that one won't be one of them.
Right.
But there are many vaccines that are proving effective, and it's becoming a race to see who gets it out first.
That's exciting.
Yes. So now the problem will be, it's not the vaccine itself, it's what's called the vectors. And the vectors are the ingredients in the shot that constitute the fluid. That actually make it work.
Right.
Those are sometimes hard to find. So they will have plenty of the actual vaccine available, but the shot itself may be hard to come by.
And that makes sense when you're first getting a new vaccine on the market.
It's like shingles, like the shingles vaccine. People are getting shingles vaccines if you're of a certain age. Hard to find them because they just didn't have enough made.
Wow.
So the issue will not be whether or not the vaccine works, because it will.
It's just
a matter of getting the supply. But by 2021, I really think it will be a time of inspiration and creativity, because there's going to be so many opportunities for new businesses to fill in the gaps of the businesses that have closed.
Yeah.
And I hope that those businesses that close will be able to reinvent themselves.
Yes.
But there's going to be so much, and especially like in the arts community, theaters are closing. Cirque du Soleil filed for bankruptcy.
I can't even believe it. That breaks my heart.
You know, and like Broadway's going to be closed for, you know, much of 2021. I mean, there's so much in the arts communities But that will also give people opportunities to come up with new ideas.
Yes.
And so I think that 2121 is going to be great.
I love that. You guys, you get this optimistic view for someone that's in the COVID war room every day.
And it's like, because there's going to be so much, you know, hopefully we'll have assistance from the government in the form of grants and loans to give people startup money for this.
Right.
But there's going to be so many opportunities. I mean, just look at all the empty storefronts that are like, okay, well, someone's got to move in. So like someone better jump on that.
Yeah. I saw an article to your point about New York, that there's like epic amounts of apartments that are available.
Yeah.
And you can like wheel and deal.
Yes.
Because everyone's out of it.
People's rent are going down in New York, and like you can actually negotiate your rent.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
So it's like, I think that 2021, you know, it's not going to happen January 1st, but as the next year gets going, I think that we're going to, the face masks are going to come off, and life is may not return to normal, but it's going to be, you know, if we have the energy to jump on it and like to make the most of it, it's like, you know, these opportunities will be out there for us.
You've got to be innovative. And mankind, we are resilient and
That's the word. We are. Completely.
How do you feel about 2021 for business?
So I agree with Dan. It's the year of the possible. And I think that we're not going back to the way it was. I actually wrote a blog about it and saying we're not going back was the title to business as usual.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a time to reinvent yourself, to rethink, reset, and really reimagine, you know, everything. Capitalism is even being reimagined in many ways, many industries specifically.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to only occur at a new pace. Everything that we've been doing, whether it's parents teaching their little ones at home, or businesses adapting in virtual, is what we call adaptive capacity.
Ooh.
And it's really about how we are, and what we also call flex strategy. It's no longer that we have a plan with a through line and saying, here's the destination. It really is about adapting and pivoting to as the world hits us, and it will.
Yeah.
And I think we're gonna be, while I'm optimistic, I think it's about learning how to navigate through some turbulence.
Yeah.
And I think in business, in life, we are adaptive, resilient creatures, and that's exactly what it has to be, especially whether you're a startup in business, whether you've been around for a while. The world is rapidly changing, and now it's really about being quick on your feet and adapting as best you can, and trying to scan the horizon to also kind of look, be forward-looking, and that's what I try to encourage a lot of my clients as well.
And you're available to help do consultations for businesses to have a forecast for 2021.
Completely, to help coach them through this, to help work with their teams, to do leadership development. And really, sometimes it's something as simple as communications internal, just talking with your team, listening, and not just being, this is directives, but saying, how can we adapt together as a team? And then how do we form a supportive ecosystem for each other in this?
A supportive ecosystem. I mean, imagine what we could do with one of those.
Yeah.
How's your ecosystem?
My ecosystem is dry. Oh, at the hospital? Well,
you have a HIPAA and you can't talk.
I was just thinking about my ecosystem is dry and desolate because I sit at home. I sit at home.
Under bumpers, right?
We're talking about something else.
Yeah, I have a dry and desolate
How
ecosystem.
How can you bubble during a pandemic, by the way?
Yeah, seriously. Well, we use Grindr.
Well, how can you grind her?
We don't bumble. We don't. Well, it's, I mean, you send messages on, like, you know, on dating apps. They call you dating. There's no dating.
It's called dating.
Yeah, but anyway, it's like, hey, what are you doing? Nothing. Sitting here in a pandemic. Okay.
Just save some people.
You know, it's like, well, no, it's like I'm just sitting here doing nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. Okay. Well, we can't meet because we're quarantine. And then when people are like, hey, you want to come over? And I'm like, don't you know how irresponsible that is?
Yeah, you can watch me eat.
No, it's like, don't you know? Like, I message these people.
Yeah.
I'm like, how dare you ask me to have sex? Don't you know how irresponsible that is?
I mean, how are you doing it?
It's like, it's, you know, COVID's like the new HIV because,
it is.
You know, 20
worse.
Years ago,
it is in many ways.
And a lot of social people, it's like when people don't, they're not worried about it and they'll have, you know, hook up with each other. And it's like, you're having unprotected COVID sex.
I mean,
you know,
it's a
like,
double whammy.
You're going to breathe on, you mean you're going to breathe on each other? You're going to get into the same room and breathe on each other? That is so irresponsible. You need to use protection or using masks while you have sex. It's this weird, like it's come full circle. And I'm like totally back 20 years ago,
really
I was an HIV counselor for the health department and I would scream at people about using condoms. And now 20 years later, I'm screaming at him about using masks.
Something like, thinner than a condom.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, how boring am I that I am just yelling at people?
Safety first.
Yeah.
Safety first. Put your mask on. You know?
Yeah, you know what? We effing love you here at LA Talk Radio at the startup. You are not boring. Dr. No, we love you too. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give everybody your social media handles where they can find the both?
We love Dr. No.
Where can they find you, Denrenzi, if people want to follow you and catch up with you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm on Instagram, I guess. Oh, I post on Instagram. But my last name is spelled R-E-N-Z-I, and there's not many Dan Renzies on Instagram, so. And there's no fan accounts.
We should make one.
If you find one for Dan Renzi, it's probably me. Because no one else is impersonating me.
This is why I love Dan. He's super down to earth and humble, and he turned it around and actually is paying it forward and nursing the community. Where can people find you again, Dr. Ned?
So it's C No Limits. It's C N O E Limits, L-I-M-I-T-S. Twitter, Instagram, you'll find me.
You guys, if you're on Facebook, find Dan Renzi. He puts up updates all the time about what he's doing in the hospital. And this day, you kind of download on there, don't you?
Sometimes. I mean, like right now, I have a job where I'm actually working at a hotline answering questions.
That's right.
Because they hired me because I have so much experience working with COVID patients. When people call and they have symptoms, I can talk to them.
Talk them through about it.
You know, what to do. Like, you know, someone will call and say, oh, I tested COVID positive. I don't, you know, I'm scared. What do I do? And, you know, I'll coach them to, I know it sounds crazy, but you've got to get out of the house somehow. And you've got to do it in a socially responsible way where you're not
breathing on
anybody else. You know, you've got to go and be completely alone. But one of the best treatments for COVID is vitamin D.
Ooh.
And
vitamin D.
Yeah.
And both. This is the sunlight as well.
This is why they put me on at night.
Vitamin D. And so, I'm sitting next to Dr. No, I'm going to blush. And so the actual vitamin D from the sunlight.
Right.
And taking it in like a supplement, taking it as supplements helps. But for the amount of vitamin D that you need to be effective against COVID, you need massive amounts of it. And taking it orally it doesn't work. And same thing with vitamin C.
Okay.
Vitamin C, if they give massive vitamin C infusions, actually, it will sort of slow down the effects of COVID.
That's really good to know because I put a lot of vitamin C in my champagne.
Yeah. Now, taking a bunch of vitamin C vitamins does not work because that will give you diarrhea.
Oh.
And therefore, you will not absorb it.
So
don't go to the health food store and buy vitamin C and think that you're going to do anything. It doesn't work.
Oh, my gosh.
But one of the ways, you know, to get outside, you need to inflate your lungs. Because you need to prevent pneumonia from setting in. And one of the things that happens with COVID is people, when they're in quarantine, they sit all day. And they, because they're not moving, fluid collects in their lungs. And then it becomes much more serious than maybe if they would just get outside and take a brisk walk every day.
Have things moving through it.
And have things moving around and get some sunlight on their faces to generate some vitamin D in their bodies. And that actually can make something as simple as taking a really brisk walk can actually be very effective against the symptoms. And so talking with people about, you know, they're scared and they're locked in their homes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you can't be around anybody else. You have to be completely quarantined because you are extremely contagious, but you also have to take care of yourself. So how can you
have that balance of like not going crazy and not hurting anybody?
And and furthermore, locking yourself, you are going to go crazy. And mental health is a major part of physical health.
Yeah.
And just getting those endorphins in your body. Endorphins are very healthy.
Getting out some sunlight and seeing people. Yeah. Say hello.
Yeah. And just like, and you know, go find a trail somewhere where you're completely in the woods alone, you know, so you're not around absolutely anybody.
Yeah.
But, you've got to take care of yourself. And when we have new nurses and we're training new nurses, the thing I always tell them is imagine the soul is an organ, just like the heart or the brain or the lungs.
Yeah.
And it's like a person's soul is an organ, whether you're religious or not.
Mm-hmm.
Picture that soul and you need to heal the person's soul just like you need to heal their brain or their lungs or their heart or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And keep that in a balance of when you're caring for someone and telling someone to lock themselves in their room for 2 weeks, they may not get better as quickly, you know? And I know that it's against the law to go out in the public when you are COVID positive, But these people have got to do something. Right. You know, they've got to take care of themselves. Yeah. And so they don't end up in the hospital on a ventilator, you know? And like, and so it's just, you've got to, you know, think of the big picture. And I am not, you know, now the health department's going to be calling me telling people that I'm...
They're not going to call you, Dan. They're going to love you. Yeah. So, you're taking care of souls, mind, body. You're taking care of business and spirit. Yeah. I think we've got 5 minutes to talk
about this.
Well, no, well, we've got a chef that's going to come And we've got some chips and salsa. She's doing a Latin meal in L.A. She's a celebrity chef.
Fantastic.
So we're going to have a little...
Latin flavor.
Something we're going to have chips and salsa that we're going to try to eat under our
mask. And we're just going to look at it, though, and enjoy the aroma under our mask. But it's a Latin flavor in Miami with Dr. No, with Dan Rinzi from The Real World Miami.
Oh,
he's
God.
Now a registered nurse taking care of you at your local hospital.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
So we have a couple more minutes, and I just, on this topic, and I want to just ask a couple questions that I know the listeners and viewers are probably thinking, and because you've been in it, you can answer from actual experience, and this is real news because this is someone that's been in the ER.
And Dr. No can help.
And Dr. No can help.
Feel free to chime in.
Yes, always chime in. So, Dan Rinzi, what do we think about masks? Some people say, oh, that doesn't work. I say, mentally, if I want to wear it and it helps me sleep better at night, mentally, I think I'm better.
The science, it's not a matter of whether you want to wear them or not. I mean, the whole point of wearing a mask is COVID, the coronavirus, there's this term airborne. When something is airborne, coronavirus is not necessarily a true airborne disease. Things like, there's a disease called tuberculosis, like when you get the little thing under your arm to see if it forms a bump, that's to check if you have tuberculosis. That's an airborne disease. Where if it's in the air, it will circulate through the vent system of a building and infect everybody in the building.
How fun for everybody.
Nightmare.
Right.
COVID is not like that. But COVID is weird because it is more infectious than something like the flu. People compare it to the flu.
Mm-hmm.
It is more infectious because for some reason, COVID can attach itself to smaller water particles than other viruses. And those little itty bitty tiny water particles, when they come out of your body, float. And they will linger in the air for hours longer than other germs
like
would.
If you were to aspirate a bottle of water.
Okay. And it's just like, but it's just, it's microscopic and it's
respiratory droplets.
Yes. And and once those droplets are in the air, these face masks don't do anything because those tiny little droplets will fit through the masks.
Ooh.
But this calls into question, then why do we wear them?
Let's do it.
Because the masks stop them before they hit the air. So when I'm sitting here, where the three of us are sitting here talking, the water droplets that are coming out of our bodies are bombarding the masks, and they're being stopped before they disperse and become airborne and float.
Mitigating.
So that's why everybody needs to wear a mask, because you could have COVID and be infected and not realize it.
Some people, 2, 3, 4 weeks later, you're healthy anyway. You have any symptoms.
And some people never develop symptoms at all.
Asymptomatic?
Yes. And so, but you don't want to infect people who develop symptoms and it could become serious.
Right.
And that's why everyone has to wear the mask.
It's like a love thy neighbor thing.
And the thing, people call into question, that's why surgeons, when they're performing surgery, wear masks.
Yeah.
There is nothing coming out of that body, unless you hit a blood vessel and it sprays or whatever. But there's nothing coming out of that body there's no germs that are floating around the room. The surgeon is wearing a mask. When the surgeon cuts open the patient, the surgeon's protecting the patient from the breath that's coming out of the surgeon's mouth. I don't want to cut you open and then
breathe
on you.
That's
how the masks work.
Love it.
They stop the germs before they hit the air.
Thank you.
Why everybody needs to wear a mask. And then people are like, well, if you don't feel safe, you don't have to wear a mask. That's not how it works. And we keep saying it over and over again. Or people will call me and say, I don't understand. I have COVID and I always wore a mask. And I'll say, well, did you go anywhere where people weren't wearing masks? And they're like, well, yeah, I went to, you know, the antique sale in my neighborhood and no one was wearing masks and I was the only one. And I'm like, well, then why didn't you leave? You know, why didn't you go home? You are just as responsible because you were there with all these people without masks on.
Especially if you know, and I think in some states, if you know that you're infected, you have to do your due diligence and be responsible.
Yeah. So we beat our heads against the wall over and over again. They're like, well, if you want to wear a mask, you can, but I don't want to wear it, so I shouldn't have to. I'm like, well, then you can't go in public because you're a public health threat. And I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say today, the head of the CDC testified before Congress and actually said that the mask can be as effective as a vaccine.
Yeah.
And so it's something that I think it's still reinforcing.
One of the first case studies was in Missouri, close to where I live, and it was like a Supercuts or it was some hair yes. salon, mm-hmm. and they had two hairstylists that were both infected, and they would take their masks off and talk to each other, and that's how they both ended up getting infected.
Wow!
But no. But then the clients would come in, and they would put their masks on. The clients would wear masks, and they had 151 people that got cut their hair cut while they both were positive. And the infection rate was zero.
Wow, we need to get that story and repost it. That's just freaking
and weird. And they're sitting there getting their hair cut, talking to each other as close as we are, and nobody got infected because they wore their masks over their noses like you're supposed to. You know, so when you're breathing out of your nose, there's nothing going into the air. And, you know, it's like these masks work. And it's just, you know, I understand that. I get it. And I live in a red state. I understand when people start to hyperventilate at the thought of government control. I get it. I understand people who support the NRA. I've been shooting guns since I was 9.
What does the gun have to the mask?
I understand people.
The mindset.
I understand the mindset of personal liberty.
Yes, I understand, we all want it, though.
I understand when people say the government does not have the right to tell me to wear a mask. But it's not about the government control. It's about public health.
We're in this together.
And I can tell you, New York, you know, New York did not happen overnight. And New York became a crisis because it was building for a long time before they caught on, you know, before they figured it out.
And everyone's in such close proximity.
Yes, and people were getting it from riding the subway and being on each other. And so, but there was just so many sick people and the mass
concentrated.
At once, and just walking down the halls and like seeing people dead in the hallway, like it was just like a
steep.
It was like, yeah, I'm gonna need a hug in a minute.
Man.
And like, I can't tell you how many dead people I saw. And it's just this has the potential of becoming overwhelming, and our government. I know people blame President Trump for not responding, and there's these huge numbers of infections, but it could be a lot worse. And it could be, I've seen it be worse. And we have not, and I understand when they have small businesses that have been closed because there's been so many quarantines, I get the anger, but it could be so much worse. And we've been fighting it off.
Yeah,
and we could be fighting it better.
Let's fight it better, guys.
Yeah, I feel like we can fight it better.
Because I'm getting nasty under here.
Yeah. So, but I get it. But it's just, believe me, this could be much worse than it has been. And that's why, you know, like we're here in Miami, and they have an 11 o'clock curfew.
I can believe we were on Punisher last night.
Like, how boring is that? But, you know, they're just trying to do anything to get people from stopping congregating. So it's like, this just doesn't spread so fast until we can just keep it calm until the vaccine comes.
Yes, and we all want to get back to normal. And right before we get back to this conversation, I want to check in with my producer. Hey, Ronan, do we have Chef Corey in the wings? I think she might be there. Well, Chef Corey will be coming on very soon. Yes, okay, Chef Corey, we want to see you. All right, you guys, we have a celebrity chef in the building. You like chefs?
Oh, I love chefs.
You're good cuisine?
Do you like to cook, Dr. No?
I do.
Really? What do you like to cook, Dr. No?
Anything lean and healthy. Kind of boring, but it's good for us.
Dan has just earned some cheesy
pasta, bags. Though. I love pasta.
That's good.
All right. We're ready for Chef Corey whenever she's ready to show us her beautiful face. She is a really talented chef, so next time you're in L.A.,
Fat cat. That's right.
All right. She's on. Okay, I can't see. Chef Corey!
Hi! How you
doing? Hey, beautiful! There she is. All right, let's just tap that in there.
Oh, she's cute. Look how cute she is.
Amazing.
All right, everybody, this is the celebrity Chef Corey. Chef Corey. Happy Wednesday. Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do. We already know what you do. Tell us about yourself.
So I am originally from Los Angeles, California. Yay, LA! I grew up in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, so I've got a little bit of both wonderful sides of the world, so I'm super excited. Like I said, grew up with Latin background. I fell in love with cooking when I was little, my grandmother's house, my mom and my aunts. Very like water for chocolate, kind of like in my house. And just kind of fell in love with it through there and just kept on going. So, and now I'm here with you guys.
Look, you are in your kitchen, you're cooking something because we're going in the theme of Latina in Los Angeles and Cubano here in Miami.
Cooking?
What do you have?
So today I actually have created a little guisado of shrimp. I've got some yummy shrimp right here that I sauteed up. And I actually found this really cool spice thanks to this little wonderful young lady. It is Billy Brown Pure Heaven Seasoning. This stuff is amazing. Like I add it to like my chicken, I'm doing like a barbecue. I add it to my Mexican to add that like almost Tex-Mex Southern flavor to it. So it is amazing. And I actually made a few sopes already made out of plantain and masa, kind of that Cuban Latin flavor to kind of keep going with you. And, you know, I'm really thirsty talking to you guys and watching you guys drink.
Well, what you got there in LA, girlfriend?
I made a michelada. And I'm using it's called Baja Brewing from Tijuana. Super awesome, guys. And I even used my Billy Brown's Pure Heaven Seasoning. I actually crushed up some plantain chips, some salt, and his seasoning, and I actually seasoned the rim of my glass. So I'm multitasking here today with this. So I'm gonna go.
I love it. Where are we? Why are we not there?
This is delicious.
Next anniversary,
right,
we're there.
We're there.
Wrong coast.
So next time, I'm having a party here, and you guys get to eat and drink.
Oh, I love that about you, Chef Karen. Cheers to you, people. Salute. And then we have a little something here, Chef Corey. Thank you so much. We have a little Latin flavor here. We've got some guacamole. We've got some yams. We've got some carrots and salsa.
Healthy chips.
And some healthy chips. And we're going to try to eat it through our masks somehow.
So you're going to pretend to eat my food via your food. Got it.
Well, you know what? Let's not pretend. If people are in LA and they want to book you because they're at home and they are Zooming and cooking and taking care of their kids, how can they book you to come and make some healthy meals at their home?
So if you go on Instagram at Mama Corey Salsa, and I have it written down, only because I'm one of the unique ones where I spell my name uniquely. And it's K-O-R-I, so it's Mama Corey Salsa is my Instagram, and then you can also do my email, Mama Corey Salsa, as well. So go ahead
hold
and call me there.
Hold it up. We can't see the other.
There you go. Okay. Gmail.
I love it.
Mama Corey, what do you have coming up besides cooking for people at home with BD's Heaven and Hell Seasoning? What do you have coming up in the next few months? Anything exciting?
Well, there is something small. It's this small little television show that's coming up in January that I hear is really amazing. I hear it's House Kitchen 19. So there might be something on there worth watching. I'm just saying.
I'm saying that we love you.
Tune in.
Hint.
Exactly. Hint. Thank you so much. We love you so much, Chef Corey. Cheers to you. It's my anniversary, you guys.
I feel like an anniversary to 100 more.
Cheers, Mama Claire.
Cheers.
All right, Chef. Chef, I love. All right, you guys. It's my anniversary. I think I have a present or something.
Right.
I think the production got me a present.
1 year.
It's 1 year. I want to say while they're picking up my gift.
This wine is good.
Isn't that tasty? I want to give a shout out to my sponsors again. Archery Jewelry, Michael Silver Family Wines, Dan Renzi, Dr. No, BD's Heaven and Hell, Chef Corey, Elevating Environmental Solutions and Urban Development. I want to say a great shout out to the Dream Hotel. Mm. We're in this mansion.
Completely.
You're going to follow my story tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. I'm going to be doing a tour of this mansion that we're in here at the Penthouse at the Dream Hotel South Beach. And they did a really great job. Oh my God, Dan. What did you give me, Dan Renzi? I have a cake.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
Oh,
it's
a moment.
There's a little microphone.
Thank you so much.
That is adorable.
Thank you so so much, everybody. I want to say this one thing. Everybody on this panel can agree. You have to go after whatever you want, even if you don't know the whole path. Just start something and see what you can do and just ask and find out if you can make it happen. And that's what I did a year ago, and here we are. What will you start up today? This is LA Talk Radio. I'm Monique, Startup, Dan Rizzi, Dr. No, Dream Hotel Miami.
How are you going to blow that candle out?
Let's do it together.
Yeah. Well, how are we going to do
it?
Wave it.
Yeah. One, two, three.
Like, wait a minute. It's not working. It's not working. It's one of those light relighting candles.
What will you start up today? See you guys next week.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.